I shall say, Purushottama, O Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Dear Lord, let us inform you that no one is more sinful than us, nor is there any offender like us. Even if we wanted to mention our sinful activities, we would immediately become ashamed, and what to speak of giving them up. Purport. This verse is from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami. But this is also Rupa Goswami speaking this verse to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after he and his brother Sanatan have approached the Lord with straw in their teeth and towels wrapped around their necks, offering their full dandavats to the Lord. So he's offering it. At that time, Rupa Goswami is known as Dabir Khas, but having been born in a Brahmin family, he was able to compose this verse to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Sanskrit, which is very, very nice. I'm going to read the other verses and then the purport, final purport, and the subject matter of the purport that I'll speak on and do mostly some reading is about the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, and particularly that purport speaks, actually in the verse, speaks about Namabhas, which is the clearing stage of chanting the holy names of the Lord. Now we're back to Bengali. Patita pavana hetu tomara avatar amavai jagate patita nahiyar. Both brothers submitted. Dear Lord, you have incarnated to deliver the fallen souls. You should consider that in this world there is none so fallen as us. Jagai madhai dui karile udhar tahan udharite shrama nahila tomar. You have delivered the two brothers Jagai and Madhai, but to deliver them, you did not have to exert yourself very much. Brahmana jati taranava dvipe gahara dhara nicha seva nahikare nahi nichera kurpar. The brothers Jagai and Madhai belonged to the Brahmana caste, and their residence was in the holy place of Navadvip. They never served low-class persons, nor were they instruments to abominable activities. Indirectly here, Rupa Goswami is indicating the sinful activities that he and his brother Sanatan performed in the service of the Mohammedan king. And as it's mentioned in some of the previous verses also, that they actually developed the habits and customs of the Mohammedans. So it's one thing to engage in the service of someone low class, but they were actually following the customs, the habits, the lifestyle of the Muslims. Though they were born in Brahmin families, were highly learned scholars, full of good qualities, etc. So they considered themselves even worse than Jagai and Madhai. Sabe eka doshatara haya papachar paparashi dahi namabhase tomar. Jagai and Madhai had but one fault. They were addicted to sinful activity. However, volumes of sinful activity can be burned to ashes simply by a dim reflection of the chanting of your holy name. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami presented themselves as being lower than the two brothers Jagai and Madhai, who were delivered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Rupa and Sanatan compared themselves to Jagai and Madhai, they found themselves inferior because the Lord had no trouble in delivering two drunken brothers. This was so because, despite the fact that they were addicted to sinful activity. In other ways, their life was brilliant. They belonged to the Brahmana caste of Navadvip, and as such, Brahmanas were pious by nature. Although they had been addicted to some sinful activities due to bad association, those unwanted things could vanish simply because of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Another point for Jagai and Madhai was that as members of a Brahmin family, they did not accept service under anyone. The Shastras strictly forbid a Brahmana to accept service under anyone. The idea is that by accepting a master, one accepts the occupation of a dog. In other words, a dog cannot thrive without having a master. And for the sake of pleasing the master, dogs offend many people. They bark at innocent people just to please the master. Similarly, when one is a servant, he has to perform abominable activities according to the orders of the master. Therefore, when Dabir Khas and Sakara Malik compared their position to that of Jagai and Madhai, they found Jagai and Madhai's position far better. Jagai and Madhai never accepted the service of a low-class person, nor were they forced to execute abominable activities under the order of a low-class master. Jagai and Madhai chanted the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by way of blasphemy, but because they simply chanted his name, they immediately became free from the reactions of sinful activities. Thus, later, they were saved. Oma jnana timirandasya jnanam jina shlakaya chakshuru minitam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha mukham kavati vachalam pangam langaya tegrim yatripatam aham bande sri gurum dinataranam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So if personalities like Rupa and Sanatan felt themselves worse than Jagai and Madhai, we can only imagine our position. They were also born in Brahmin families, were highly elevated, and of course, in reality, they are eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they just play these parts in his lila. But they considered themselves worse than Jagai and Madhai. I mean, Jagai and Madhai were addicted to sinful activities, to meat eating, basically eating meat, intoxication, gambling, and illicit sex. Four basic sinful activities of this Kali Yuga. Yet the Lord easily delivered them. It took a little work. Nityananda had to risk his life, but there wasn't so much of an effort, such a big attempt. But in the case of Rupa and Sanatan, they felt themselves, they were so humble and so respectful of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they felt themselves worse than Jagai and Madhai because they were engaged in abominable activities, many perhaps more severe than Jagai and Madhai. And particularly, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes here in this purport that they were engaged in the service of low-class persons. As we know, they were ministerial heads in the government of the king, Nawab Hussain Shah, and they must have had to give him all sorts of advice and give instructions to so many other people to fulfill the desires of Nawab Hussain Shah. And as I mentioned, they developed the habits of Mohammedans, the customs, the lifestyle. So they considered themselves even more degraded than Jagai and Madhai, who were born in Brahmin families but were simply addicted to sinful activities. But they had gone even further down the scale. And then if we look at ourselves, we're probably a combination of all of these things. We engaged in the service of or we have previously engaged in the service of low-class people, and we engaged in so many sinful activities due to our upbringing and our association, we really have very little or no qualifications to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And here, Jagai and Madhai are so humiliated, they're ashamed to even admit their sinful activities before the Lord. They come in with straw in their teeth and offering their dandavats flat in front of the Lord. They don't even want to think about or remember their sinful activities. They simply want to surrender to the Lord and give up their lives. And they become so anxious to do so, as we know, they leave the service of the Mohammedan king and go to Vrindavan and become Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. So this is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By giving the holy names of the Lord, he is able to deliver all of the Jagai and Madhais and Dabir Kashas and Sakira Maliks of this Kali Yuga, all of us. And we as servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are in the same way trying to bring that to others. And what I really wanted to emphasize in the class here is that, and I'm going to read on some of, on this topic, is that Jagai and Madhai were delivered simply by Namabhas, just by unintentionally, without any devotion whatsoever, chanting the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's what Prabhupada explains in the purport, and also in the next verse, Krishna Das Kaviraj also says that they became purified simply by chanting the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what to speak of the Hare Krishna mantra also, but just by chanting the name of Sri Chaitanya, Lord Gauranga, Gaura Nitai, one can become delivered by chanting even irreverently. So that is not to say that once one recognizes the potency of the holy name, he can continue chanting irreverently. So that is the point that we have to develop here, that innocent people, even if they're sinful by, due to bad association by their upbringing, whatever the cause may be, as we know from the Srimad Bhagavatam also, so many places it explains there how by association with a pure devotee, by chanting the holy names of the Lord, even a low-class person can be delivered. And specifically in the Kali Yuga, the Lord appears as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and delivers the fallen souls who are, in a sense, innocent. In some senses, they are innocent, some of them anyway. By the chanting of the holy name, they can become Krishna conscious. And that's been proven by Srila Prabhupada. Brought Krishna consciousness, spread the chanting of Hare Krishna all over the world, and all of these innocent souls, even though we were sinful and fallen, we became attracted by the chanting of the holy names. And that is our responsibility, our duty, to continue that. We had this festival at the University of Florida, Festival of India, very nice festival, and the Harinam was going on, and at one point the third day Vishwambhar Prabhu was chanting, and all these people got up and started dancing. So they didn't know why they were dancing. Some of them were devotees, but they didn't, but other people got up and danced also. They didn't know why they were dancing, they didn't understand. But it's so attractive, so appealing to hear the holy names that one becomes affected in the heart. One becomes affected in the heart. There was also some comments in the local newspaper that were criticizing that the Hare Krishnas are having this festival to proselytize, to preach. But actually, we're not just out there. We are out there to preach and proselytize, but we're trying to elevate people from their degraded condition. People don't understand that. They don't understand how fallen they are. They don't understand the nature of their own sinful activities, where it's all leading. They have no idea of the law of karma, reincarnation, or the effects they have to eventually experience due to their sinful activities. we have to enlighten them. So this is the science of Krishna consciousness, to elevate these persons. We're not just converting people. We're giving knowledge, we're giving information, we're giving them an opportunity to purify their existence so that they can also advance in their spiritual life, and by especially to chant the holy names of the Lord. And even if they chant without understanding, as Prabhupada said in that famous purport he gave on the happening, at that time it was called the Happening Album, that there's no necessity to even understand the meaning of the chant. If one chants Hare Krishna, you don't even need to, there's no intellectual adjustment required, there's no previous qualification, one doesn't have to be born in a specific family, aristocratic family, or wealthy or beautiful. None of these qualifications are necessary. Just chant, and one will become purified. Now, even jokingly, one can chant and become purified. So in that vein, we only have 15 minutes left for the class, so I wanted to read from the Harinam Chintamani, which is a beautiful, wonderful work spoken by Haridas Thakur, written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, about Namabhas. What is Namabhas? Because we know that there are three stages of chanting. There's the offensive stage, the clearing stage, and then the purified stage. So Namabhas is the middle stage, the clearing stage, and it has a lot of specific qualifications to it. And part of what we can do as devotees as we progress in spiritual life, we can also do a litmus test on our own advancement based on how we are chanting. Because if we're not progressing in our chanting, more than likely we're not going to progress in our general spiritual life, because the chanting of Hare Krishna is everything for the spiritual aspirant in this age. So I'm going to read, this is chapter 3. I may not read the whole thing because I also wanted to take some quotes from Srila Prabhupada in the Sri Namamrita. Some very nice quotes about the chanting of the holy names, but I'll try to get through some of this. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being merciful, lifted Haridas up with his own hands and said, "Listen, Haridas, to my words. Now explain in detail the meaning of Namabhas. If one understands thoroughly Namabhas, one's chanting of the holy name will become pure. Then by the power of that pure chanting, he will end this material existence." This is still Lord Chaitanya speaking now. "The holy name, like the sun, extinguishes the darkness of maya or illusion. However, sometimes clouds or mist cover the sun from the viewer, so that only a portion of light comes through. In the same way, when ignorance and anarthas predominate, the sun of the holy name becomes covered and only a portion of the full effect of the name is felt. Therefore, in some cases, the holy name will appear in full force in the heart of the chanter, but in other cases, clouds of ignorance and anarthas will minimize the effect of the name on the chanter. What is ignorance? Ignorance is of three types. If one does not know the true spiritual nature of the holy name that one has accepted, this ignorance of the name, like mist, leads one into darkness. Secondly, a person ignorant that Krishna is the Supreme Lord will take to the worship of the demigods and the path of material piety. Thirdly, one who is ignorant of the transcendental nature of his own self, Jivatma, an infinitesimal part of Krishna and his world, takes shelter of the world of impermanence and illusion. Thus he will remain eternally in ignorance." When the Lord had finished, Haridas said, "Today I am most fortunate, for from my mouth the Supreme Lord himself, Sri Chaitanya, will hear about the holy name." Haridas first explained about ignorance. "Knowledge means knowing what Krishna, that means knowing Krishna is the Lord, that the living entities are his servants, and that the material world is a non-conscious, gross manifestation or byproduct of the Lord. The person who does not know clearly the nature of these three principles and their relationship lives under the shadow of ignorance. This is one cause of Namabhas, or covering of the sun of the pure holy name, by which its full effects cannot be felt. Actually, the mist of ignorance simply covers the individual living entity's eye in a localized position, just as the sun becomes invisible only from the relative position of the individual under a cloud, but is never really covered. So the holy name is never covered, for it is non-different from Krishna, and eternally transcendental and pure. The full effects are diminished for those people who have over their eyes the cloud of anartas and the mists of ignorance. What are anartas? These are classified as thirst for material objects, asat-trishna, miserliness of the heart, hriday-dorbalya, and offense, aparad. The category of thirst for material objects is divided thus. Craving for material objects in this world, craving for heavenly sense pleasures in the next life, desire for mystic yoga power, and the desire for liberation in the Brahman. Weakness of the heart may be analyzed as attachment to trifling things unrelated to Krishna, deceit, envy of someone else's progress, and longing for position and fame. Offense or aparad may be divided into offenses to the holy name, offenses to Krishna himself, seva aparad, offenses to Krishna's devotees, and offenses to other living entities. By these anartas, the influence of the holy name becomes obstructed, and the full transcendental nature of the name is not manifested. The living entity will continue under the shadow of Namabhas as long as he is ignorant of Sambandha Tattva, the basic facts concerning the jiva, God, and material nature and their mutual relationship. However, when the serious student takes shelter of a bona fide guru by force of his effective spiritual practice, he can remove the obstructions blocking the sun of the holy name. When the clouds and mist go away, the brilliant sun of the name becomes visible and bestows upon the devotee the treasure of love of God. After the bona fide guru gives Sambandha Gyan, he instructs the disciple on the practice of culturing the holy name, sadhana bhakti. This is called abhideya, or process. By this specific process, the name will show its influence and drive out the anartas. Finally, the jiva achieves the goal of life, love of God, and in that position he continues his performance of chanting the holy name in full spiritual bliss, prema. The ignorance of correct knowledge is explained as follows. The living entity takes shelter of the bona fide guru and with genuine faith receives the correct knowledge about Krishna, the spirit soul, atma, material nature, and the relationship of the three according to scripture. Krishna is the eternal Lord, and the living entities are his eternal servants, linked to the Lord by the bond of prema, or love. This relationship of jiva to God in prema bhakti is also eternal. This is the living entity's constitutional nature, which has only to be uncovered. However, when the jiva forgets that he is the eternal servant of Krishna, he comes into the material world looking for happiness. But this universe of illusion is the prison house for the jivas, acting as the remedial or reformatory process by punishing the jivas for turning away from Krishna. The material world is meant as a place of purification. By the mercy of the pure Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, if the jiva takes up Krishna Nam with correct knowledge of Sambandha, then he will certainly attain the great treasure of prema, the perfectional activity of the living entity, At that time, even liberation of merging into the Lord's effulgence becomes detestable. But as long as the transcendental knowledge of Sambandha is not accepted, the anartas and ignorance must remain, and the person will continue on the platform of Namabhas. Though the person chants, the effect is limited. However, even chanting in the Namabhas stage is considered to be very auspicious. It is considered to be the chief of pious activities, for by the accumulation of Namabhas activity, one eventually gains faith to accept devotional service properly. Namabhas is considered higher than the activities of yoga, sacrifice, varnashram rules, austerities, etc., but it will lead to the path of pure bhakti, the processes of yoga, austerities, etc., unless mixed with some activities of bhakti, will never lead to bhakti. What are the effects of chanting in Namabhas? By chanting in Namabhas, all sinful effects are destroyed, and one can attain liberation from the material world. All the effects of Kali Yuga are overcome. By chanting at this stage, all anxieties will go and peace can be obtained. Evil influences of ghosts, demons, spirits, and unfavorable planets are also nullified. Even the residents of hellish planets can achieve liberation by chanting in Namabhas, for Namabhas destroys the effects of sinful activities already committed. For these reasons, Namabhas is even more powerful than the Vedas and all holy places. It surpasses all the materialistic pious activities of Karmakanda. Because the holy name is invested with all Krishna's transcendental energies, even by chanting in Namabhas, one can attain the goals of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, the cherished aims of the Varnashram system. This chanting can give one the position of happiness in the material universe. It is the only resort for the helpless. One can go up to the border of the Vaikuntha planets by this chanting. Scriptures recommend the name as the process for Kali Yuga in particular. Namabhas as unintentional pious activity may be classified into four types: Sanketas, Parihasa, Stobha, and Hela. Chanting in Sanketa or indirectly means that one chants the name of Vishnu or Krishna with a specific material conception, or chants the holy name unintentionally while thinking of some other object with the same sound. An example is Ajamil, who called the name of his son, who happened to be named Narayan. He chanted the name of Vishnu, but with the intention of calling his son. Still, he was saved from the Yamadutas and eventually attained Vaikuntha. An example of the second type of Sanketa is the Yavana who chants Haram when dying. Because the syllables Ha and Ra are present in forming the name of Vishnu accidentally, that person attains liberation. Because this type of Namabhas is the least offensive, the power of the holy name is intact to a large degree. One who utters the name of the Lord in Parihasa, a joking mood such as Jarasandha, also crosses over the material world. Uttering the name in stoba or in derision, as Sishupal did, can also cut the chains of material existence. Uttering the name in hela or disregard without attention also brings benefit. The Malechas attain liberation by all these types of Namabhas. This is the path of liberation for the materialistic, lazy people. Sounds pretty familiar. These types of Namabhas, coincidence, jest, derision, and disregard, being without real faith in Krishna, are situated on the lower border of Namabhas. On the other hand, if one has genuine faith in Krishna and takes to the holy name while anartas are still present, that stage is called Shraddha Namabhas. Since even by chanting in Namabhas without faith one can attain liberation, How can one describe the results of chanting in Namabhas with faith? By chanting in Namabhas, one can get everything except prema. If one gets to the point of Shraddhanamabhas, quickly the anarthas will go and the pure name will be revealed. Chanting the pure name, Shuddhanam, one will certainly get prema very quickly. It may be concluded, therefore, that Namabhas itself cannot give Krishna prema, but by progressing from this stage to the stage of Shuddhanam, by means of the following rules of sadhana, as laid down by the Guru, one can get love of God. Thus, provided one does not commit Namaparad, Namabhas is praiseworthy. It is considered unlimited times better than karma or jnana, because a person with such Namabhas will eventually get faith, and that seed of faith will then develop into attraction and taste for Krishna, which will lead to the stage of Shuddhanam and then prema. No time left, unless you'd like me to continue for a few minutes. Okay. I have a couple of nice things to read here. One small question. Oh. Yeah, it's an advertisement. Yeah, that whole lecture that he gave explanation, and that tape was obviously meant for mass distribution. So just like sometimes in business you advertise your product, you don't give all the details, so you just give sort of sugar-coated presentation just to get people to do that. That's what advertising means. Although nowadays the advertising doesn't tell you all the bad things that something does, instead of, because there are really no good things in most of the advertising nowadays. But Prabhupada was inducing people to chant Hare Krishna. Chant and be happy. Uh-huh. And people still... That's right. Kali Yuga brings. So this is from Namamrita, the three stages of chanting. This is from the Nectar of Instruction. There are three stages in chanting the holy name of the Lord: the offensive stage, the stage of lessening offenses, and the pure stage. When a neophyte takes to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, he generally commits many offenses. There are 10 basic offenses, and if the devotee avoids these, he can glimpse the next stage, which is situated between offensive chanting and pure chanting. When one attains the pure stage, he is immediately liberated. This is called Bhava Maha Davagni Nirvapanam. As soon as one is liberated from the blazing fire of material existence, he can relish the taste of transcendental life. This is nice. This is about the chanting and jokingly from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chand Kazi to his orderlies. The Hindus chant the name Hari because that is the name of their god. But you are Mohammedan meat-eaters. Why do you chant the name of the Hindu god? The meat-eater replied, sometimes I joke with the Hindus. Some of them are called Krishnadas, and some are called Ramadas. Some of them are called Haridas. They always chant Hari, Hari, and thus I thought they would steal the riches from someone's house. Since that time, my tongue always vibrates the sound, Hari, Hari. I have no desire to say it, but still, my tongue says it. I do not know what to do. Another meat-eater said, sir, please hear me. Since the day I joked with some Hindus in this way, my tongue chants the Hare Krishna hymn and cannot give it up. I do not know what mystic hymns and herbal potions these Hindus know. Purport. Sometimes demoniac non-believers, not understanding the potency of the holy name, make fun of the Vaishnavas when the Vaishnavas chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This joking is also beneficial for such persons. Srimad Bhagavatam 6 Canto 2nd Chapter verse 14 indicates that the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, even in joking, in the course of ordinary discussion, in indicating something extraneous or in negligence, is called namabhas, which is chanting that is almost on the transcendental stage. This namabhas stage is better than namaparad. Namabhas awakens the supreme remembrance of Lord Vishnu. When one remembers Lord Vishnu, he becomes free from material enjoyment. Thus, he gradually comes forward toward the transcendental service of the Lord and becomes eligible to chant the holy name of the Lord in the transcendental position. And then a couple of things. About offensive chanting. And now we know about namabhas, clearing stage. This is the effects of offensive chanting. And the caption reads, an offense at the lotus feet of the holy name is extremely dangerous. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Once the Lord explained the glories of the holy name to the devotees, but some ordinary students who heard him fashioned their own interpretation. When a student interpreted the glories of the holy name as a prayer of exaggeration, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, greatly unhappy, immediately warned everyone not to see the student's face henceforward. Without even changing his garments, Lord Chaitanya with his companions took bath in the Ganges. There he explained the glories of devotional service. Purport, there are many kinds of offenses, but the offense known as Nam Aparad, an offense at the lotus feet of the holy name, is extremely dangerous. The Lord therefore warned everyone not to see the face of the offender. He immediately took a bath in the Ganges with all his clothes to teach everyone to avoid such a nam aparad. The holy name is identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that student wasn't, he was criticizing the holy name, so that was an offense against the holy name. It wasn't like somebody who jokes or chants referring to something else, as we discussed before. This was a direct offense. And this one I marked very important. If one chants without trying to give up offenses, the real creeper of bhakti will be stunted by the unwanted creepers of sense gratification, etc. This is a little long. I'll conclude with this reading. Lord Chaitanya to Rupa Goswami. When a person receives the seed of devotional service, he should take care of it by becoming a gardener and sowing the seed in his heart. If he waters the seed, gradually by the process of shravana and kirtan, hearing and chanting, the seed will begin to sprout. The gardener must defend the creeper by fencing it all around so that the powerful elephant of offenses may not enter. Sometimes unwanted creepers, such as the creepers of desires for material enjoyment and liberation from the material world, grow along with the creeper of devotional service. The varieties of such unwanted creepers are unlimited. Some unnecessary creepers growing with the bhakti creeper are the creepers of behavior unacceptable for those trying to attain perfection. Diplomatic behavior, animal killing, mundane profiteering, mundane adoration, and mundane importance. All these are unwanted creepers. If one does not distinguish between the bhakti lata creeper and the other creepers, the sprinkling of water is misused because the other creepers are nourished while the bhakti lata creeper is curtailed. And there's a rather long purport. Important to hear. If one chants the Hare Krishna mantra while committing offenses, these unwanted creepers will grow. One should not take advantage of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra for some material profit, as mentioned in verse 159. The Bengali is here, but not the English. The unwanted creepers have been described by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He states that if one hears and chants without trying to give up offenses, one becomes materially attached to sense gratification. One may also desire freedom from material bondage, like the Mayavadis, or one may become attached to the yoga siddhis and desire wonderful yogic powers. If one is attached to wonderful material activities, one is called siddhi lobhi, greedy for material perfection. One may also be victimized by diplomatic or crooked behavior, or may associate with women for illicit sex. Others may make a show of devotional service like the Prakriti Sahajiyas, or one may try to support his philosophy by joining some caste or identifying himself with a certain dynasty, claiming a monopoly on spiritual advancement. Thus, with the support of family tradition, one may become a pseudo-guru or so-called spiritual master. So, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. One may become attached to the four sinful activities, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat-eating, or one may consider a Vaishnav to belong to a mundane caste or creed. One may think, this is a Hindu Vaishnava, and this is a European Vaishnava. A European Vaishnava is not allowed to enter the temples. In other words, one may consider Vaishnavas in terms of birth, thinking one a Brahmana Vaishnava, a Shudra Vaishnava, a Mlecha Vaishnava, and so on. One may also try to carry out a professional business while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra or reading Srimad Bhagavatam, or one may try to increase his monetary strength by illegal means. One may also try to be a cheap Vaishnava by chanting in a secluded place for material adoration, or one may desire mundane reputation by making compromises with non-devotees, compromising one's philosophy or spiritual life, or one may become a supporter of a hereditary caste system. All these are pitfalls of personal sense gratification. Just to cheat some innocent people, one makes a show of advanced spiritual life and becomes known as a sadhu, mahatma, or religious person. All this means that the so-called devotee has become victimized by all these unwanted creepers, and that the real creeper of Bhakti Lata Beej has been stunted. Hare Krishna. Sri Namamrita Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada. Any questions?